Hey, y'all, and welcome back to Uplift Fit Nutrition Radio. Today's guest is somebody who I have looked up to for quite a period of time, and I'm super excited to have him on. His name is Dr. Stephen Cabral. He is the owner of the podcast Cabral Concept. He owns the Equilife supplement line, and he also has his own book, which is pretty freaking fantastic, The Rain Barrel Effect. So Dr. Stephen puts out so much information. He's kind of like me. He's definitely in the world of functional medicine, team test, don't guess, all about the science, the what's the why. So Dr. Stephen, thank you so much for coming on my podcast today. I know you are an excellent source and wealth of knowledge. So I'm really excited to have you and have you to share your wisdom today.
Well, it's a real pleasure. So thank you so much for having me on.
Of course. So I told Dr. Stephen today I wanted to talk about detoxification because, as you guys know, as my listeners know, I'm all about dispelling the bullshit and making sure that we understand what is true science. So, Dr. Stephen, detoxification, what does that even mean to get started with?
Yeah, and it is a great place to get started because whether you're doing some type of hormonal rebalancing like estrogen dominance or low progesterone, whatever it might be, or you're looking to overcome an autoimmune issue or even gut-based issues, one of the best first places to start is with a functional medicine detox, and it's because it makes all those other protocols go so much easier. And that is because inside of your body, whenever you're, let's say you're burning body fat and you're oxidizing adipose tissue fat, everything inside that's stored is actually then moving into your bloodstream. And so all that needs to then be circulated and moved out of the body, all the waste metabolites, all the estrogen that's been used up. And so what your liver does, because it's processed through your liver mainly, is it breaks it down from fat-soluble toxins like pesticides and formaldehyde, fluoride in the water, chlorine in the water. And what it does is it turns it into a harmless water-soluble toxin that can then be easily removed through a bowel movement or through daily urination. So that's where we start. And what it does, again, is it helps your body get rid of a lot of the toxicity it may be harboring and holding on to that's actually leading to a lot of the symptoms you have and the inflammation in your body.
Absolutely love that. Now, you guys, easiest way to detox, poop, sweat, breathe, stay active. We have multitude of organs that help us to naturally detox. So we have our liver, we have our gallbladder. We also have, of course, our lungs, our respiratory system, and our GI tract. Now, everybody detoxifies, but when you have maybe estrogen dominance, you have an overburdens of environmental toxins, you have gut pathogens, parasites, candida, this is an overburdens on our liver. And I'm a firm believer that, unfortunately, nowadays, everybody needs a little bit of gentle liver support. It doesn't mean a detox tea, anything like that, but it just means supporting your body naturally with aiding liver detoxification. And there's certain people, certain populations, maybe it's because you have a gut infection or estrogen dominance or too many environmental toxins, mold toxicity, heavy metals, you need a selective, quote unquote, detoxification protocol to best help you. So, Dr. Stephen, I know you have developed a supplement line and that has its own protocol, but maybe let's talk about what are those first symptoms of having poor liver detoxification?
Yeah, and absolutely. And so everything that we do in our clinical-based practice, we help people all over the world, is really based on necessity. And before we even offered this to people all around the world, it was used with people with some of the hardest, quote-unquote, treatable diseases, like autoimmune issues, skin rashes, migraines, et cetera. But it's important that we take a step back because when we're looking to heal the body, and obviously you preach this all the time, we're looking for the root cause.
Yes.
So typically we're doing some type of functional medicine testing. I like testing as much as humanly possible. I like testing the digestive tract for candida, parasites, H. pylori, SIBO, like you just mentioned. We're looking at heavy metals, we're looking at food sensitivities, we're looking at all sorts of things. But the one that we don't really talk about too much, and that's because it's not tested as often, is environmental toxicity. So right now, there's over 144,000 environmental toxins in the United States. Now, only a fraction of that over in Europe, maybe around 15 to 20,000, but in the US, we let a lot slide. And because of that, there's almost no one alive, no one that we've seen in all of our years of testing that has never tested for absolutely nothing inside of their urine, meaning that and you take a simple at-home urine test, an environmental tox test, and you look at, it's not a million, you're looking at maybe a couple of hundred metabolites in terms of pesticides, exhaust fumes, or formaldehydes, fluorides, et cetera. Now, this is a real issue. And again, we're not really talking about it because any one of these things can cause an inflammatory response in your body. And that inflammatory response then leads to aging from free radical damage and inflammation that can then lead to other more serious issues such as autoimmune or cardiovascular blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, or weight gain from inflammation in and of itself. So this is, again, this is why it's such a big place to start with. The problem is that the industry, right, because you and I are clinicians, but the industry, the marketing industry, has turned detoxes into teas or juices or cleanses or whatever the popular name is. And that is actually not a functional medicine protocol. They're not necessarily bad, meaning like a dandelion tea is not bad for you. And green juice without the fruit is not necessarily bad for you. And a colon cleanse or intestinal cleanse is not necessarily bad for you, but they don't actually do anything to ramp up phase one and phase two liver detoxification.
Love it. So in regards to first, how do we focus on reducing the toxins for our bodies? And then let's talk about how we can support detoxification beyond just what we've talked about so far.
100%. So the average woman right now, before she leaves the house, is exposed to 126 carcinogenic toxins.
Oof.
So these are chemicals that may cause cancer. At least 50% of them, we know that they do. There's so many. The problem is that the FDA says, okay, this is okay in this amount. But it doesn't say it's okay over 10 years. It just says it's okay in this small amount that's tested. And it doesn't say it's okay if mixed with these other three or four. And that is the problem with all of the shampoos and toothpaste, conditioners, bath soaps, perfumes, fragrances, all of these things, plus all of the cooking-based materials that we're using, such as aluminum foil, microwave-ready food, right? Just microwave in this plastic bag and it's totally fine. Well, it's not fine for you. It's only fine for your microwave and plastic bag. Like, that's what microwave safe means. It doesn't mean it's safe for you. So again, we're exposed to a world with very fancy marketing terms that does not take our health into account. So what I'm looking to do is just help men and women make simple fixes. A lot of times more with women because they're kind of running the house. Like, they are making sure that the family has great food and their great health and all that. And that's why, again, about 75% of our practice is women. And then oftentimes, okay, a spouse, a husband may come and say, okay, I want to do some testing then myself as well. And that's great. But it's really important that whoever is looking out for the family, and maybe it's even parents or children as well, that they know that there are simple switches, like getting a good quality water filter. And again, no disrespect to Brita water filters. They are one of the originators, but it's not a very good water filter. So a good water filter for your drinking water and your shower or bath for your children or yourself, really important. And then after that's done, then you move to the cooking utensils and where. And the reason is that these are the things that we're exposed to the most. So start with the big ones that everyone's exposed to, then move into the bath products. And then we can get more detailed if you want from there. So I'll get as detailed as you want. Just let me know.
Yeah, no, absolutely love that. And you guys, I went over with Dr. Vivian Chen. We talked about water filters, air filters, other environmental toxins, what you're putting on your skin, parabens, you name it. So make sure you check that episode out. Really glad you mentioned the water because we are basically human cucumbers, and water quality, air quality, these are the top two things that should be a priority. Now, when it comes down to environmental toxins, just a reminder, you guys, we can't run away from them. We walk outside, we're in our houses, we cannot run away from them. And there's no need for us to hyper-focus and stress ourselves out or give us some shape or form of orthorexia from, and you know, trying to remove them all. But you can reduce and focus on reducing the drops in that toxic bucket. And that's what we want to do. As little drops as possible to hopefully not create that overflow in the health effects of them.
100% correct. Yeah, I mean, that's right. So you really can't worry about it every single day. But exactly. Now when I run my environmental toxicity test, obviously everything is confidential for people, but the only thing that's left on mine is exhaust fumes. And that's because I live in the city. I live in Boston. So there's not a lot I can do about that, except on a daily basis using my intermittent fasting, using good cruciferous-based vegetables that we can talk about that help ramp up phase two detox, and then a quarterly functional medicine detox, and you're good. So it's like you can do these things. It doesn't have to happen overnight, meaning you don't need to replace all of your pots and pans and your bath products overnight. It's when they run out or you want to replace one pan every couple months. That, I think, is the smartest and probably best budget-wise way to do it.
I'm so glad you're the exact same way I am. I'm like, just use what you have, and then when you run out, look and see how you can change that and make that more a healthier choice. Love it. And I'm glad you mentioned fasting. That was my next question for you. How does fasting help us with detoxification as well as longevity and reducing inflammation?
Well, the best way to look at fasting isn't necessarily for weight loss. A lot of people use it for weight loss. It's fine. It's part of a good body transformation-based program. But really what you're trying to do, and even for a body transformation program, is you're trying to get your body as healthy as humanly possible. And then it will automatically begin to ramp up metabolism in terms of thyroid, rebalancing cortisol. And I know that you have a history with that and have worked through that as well and help a lot of other people with that. So really what we're looking to do is use fasting, intermittent fasting, which is 12 hours or more, of a period of time of essentially rest for the body. So if you are not putting in more food, more everything into your body consuming, and that kind of includes, I would say, EMFs and the world around you, is meaning 12 hours of downtime, 6 at night to 6 in the morning, 7 at night to 7 in the morning, right around there. What it does, it gives your body time to clean house. So if there's no more coming in, then you're going to work on digestive through the digestive tract. But now your white blood cells can actually go around in the blood to a greater degree. They have more autonomy to be able to do so since less is coming in, especially with all of the people with intestinal permeability or leaky gut. This is a great time to go in and scavenge for bacteria, proteins, necrotic tissue, and even cancer cells to be able to clean up the body. Plus, it's going to give you a lot more energy back. The problem is when people are eating all day long, they're always using energy all day long. And a lot of times we think of it, and I used to think of it this way many, many years ago, young 20-something-year-old personal trainer, is that it would boost metabolism because there's this thermogenic effect of food. And while that is true to a degree, well, what you're missing out on is all the other properties when you don't actually eat. So you get the balancing of the blood sugar, probably improving your insulin sensitivity to a great degree. So in terms of aging, remember, like I look at aging as this. Aging is essentially an equilibrium in the body of making sure that you've replaced your deficiencies and you've removed a lot of those toxicities and that you're always rebuilding what you're breaking down. So there's this catabolic nature as we get older. And if we continue to improve our anabolism and our repair, it's going to work both ways. But the problem is, if it's all anabolism and all eating, we gain weight, we create more inflammation, we create all sorts of digestive distress, and there isn't time for that repair process, which is what happens when we're fasting. And a lot of people refer to that as autophagy. And there's a degrees of autophagy, meaning like people think it all of a sudden starts at 16 hours. It doesn't work that way, but it increases the longer the fast.
And another important key here is if you want that to happen, you have to have your cortisol awakening response, you guys. So this is where hormones and adrenal health even further play a role in order to have that. And I'm glad you mentioned fasting, but I just want to throw out there, inflammaging is also a thing if you don't have that autophagy, and that can accelerate your aging process, increase inflammation. Just wanted to throw that out there as even more information for you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and autophagy helps with that inflammation, meaning like whatever may be causing inflammation could be tied back to intestinal permeability, leaky gut, and also distressed mitochondria. So one of the reasons for inflammation is mitochondrial autophagy, the powerhouses inside those cells that give us energy. But at the same time, the less mitochondria we have, the more inflammation we have. So they really work hand in hand. And that's why the longevity-based process is really about, again, getting ourselves healthy, maintaining balance, not over-exercising, not under-exercising, not overeating, not under-eating. It really is all about homeostasis as we begin to age.
I love it. Now, fasting, what would be a healthy amount of fasting for somebody, especially if they're struggling with hormonal or adrenal imbalances or something like SIBO, Candida? What's a healthy amount of fasting for people? Because I have my own opinions, but I want them to hear from you.
Yeah. So, and our opinions are probably going to be pretty close because we lab test. And so, you know, I can tell you from a clinical perspective, we run over 10,000 labs a year easily. Well over that, I guess. Yeah. So what we see is this, is that men do much better with longer fasts than women. Mm-hmm. And it's because they do not get the hormonal disruption in the same degree. Now they do. It just seems to take a longer period of time before their cortisol levels rise from a chronic perspective and their testosterone and DHEA begin to dip. But we've seen women on a keto diet or a very low carb diet or a 16-hour fast until lunch drop their, meaning like their TSH goes up. So their thyroid goes down and their evening cortisol goes up and their morning cortisol goes down. So basically they're tired in the morning, brain fog, lethargy, low mood, irritability, and then at night they can't sleep. And then their thyroid is dipping as well. Their TSH might go from 1.5 to a 3.5. And for a conventional medicine doctor, they might say, well, it's fine. Certainly it's going up, but it's fine. Well, it's not fine. I mean, that's functionally deficient in terms of thyroid hormone. But it's because their reverse T3 is increasing because of the stress on their body or inflammation. Or they're simply blocking their T3 conversion through higher levels of cortisol, catecholamines, or norepinephrine. Because of stress and not eating until skipping breakfast can be a stressor on the body if that person is living a fairly stressful lifestyle. And so, you know, there's not a one for all, but we find that between 12 and 16 hours per day is the sweet spot. We don't recommend most people skip breakfast. Some people can. Again, we've seen that. We let the labs kind of do the talking. But really, the more hours before bed, the better. So you can still get 16 hours. You just want to start your fast a little earlier in the evening. And if you do that, we've seen amazing improvements in heart rate variability, deep sleep, REM, body temperature, breath rate, if they're tracking those things overnight with a sleep monitor.
I absolutely love how it's person by person dependent. And the more research that's coming, especially with chrononutrition and circadian rhythms, with meal timing, showing some greater benefits to, of course, fasting and not consuming, you know, dinner. But all in all, I'm so glad you're with me. Test, don't guess. Go based off of the person, their scenario, their issues. And also, people, you got to realize, as you start healing your gut, you heal your hormones, you heal your adrenals, you'll be able to handle more periods of fasting. So it'll change over time.
That's 100% correct. Exactly. Your body will be able to deal with a hermetic stressor to a greater degree, whether it be a really hard workout, HIIT training, or whether it be an intermittent fast. So that's 100%.
I love it. So you guys, just as a reminder, and as a reminder for my clients, you guys know, please, Lord, do not ever try and do a fast or change anything without having professional help, please. So let's talk about how we can upregulate and what nutrients are required and helpful for natural detoxification. And then we'll dive into specific supplements because everybody always wants to know what supplement is okay. So let's talk about diet first and nutrients for like phase 1, phase 2 detox.
Absolutely. So phase 1 is going to be looking to get your vitamins and minerals in, especially your methylated B vitamins like folate and methylcobalamin. So a methylfolate, a methylcobalamin. And then one that's often overlooked because it almost by itself isn't that interesting, but it makes all sorts of other processes like serotonin, overall gut health, the nervous system, melatonin, which helps with detoxification and anti-cancer and so much more, is B6 and pyridoxal 5-phosphate. P5P is a good version of that. Zinc, selenium, magnesium, those are needed for phase 1. And then one that's needed for both is a glutamine or eventually what's needed is glutathione. So simple for most people to get phase 1 nutrients. That's the issue though, is that a good, you know, activated multivitamin or eating a good overall nutritious diet should cover most of those. The problem is that they are not taking care of phase 2. And that's actually more of an issue than people think, because if you complete phase 1 of liver detoxification, it turns it into what's called, turns a fat soluble toxin, meaning like the parabens, the aluminum pans, the chlorine in your water. It turns all of those to what's called an intermediary metabolite, which is actually a free radical. So it's creating inflammation in the body. Now, you can short circuit that by adding in more what's called sulfur-based amino acids. And these are going to be things like taurine and N-acetylcysteine, methionine, all of these lead to glutathione production, which is that main antioxidant, or the mother antioxidant, as it's called, from the liver. And that then breaks down these intermediate metabolites to a water-soluble toxin that you can then huff out, you can sweat out, you can urinate out, you can have a bowel movement, and you'll get it out of your body safely. So the way that we start with that through food is cruciferous vegetables. So one of the best ways to get that sulfur in is the broccoli, the bok choy, which is one of my favorites. It could be cauliflower, it could be Brussels sprouts. And even things like cabbage or garlic or onions, as long as you don't have candida overgrowth or SIBO, can be highly beneficial. The problem is if you eat those and you get a lot of bloating, which a lot of people do, it's a good sign that you may have some type of gut overgrowth or dysbiosis. So it's an imbalance of good and bad bacteria. And so you have to correct that first. And then just like we were talking about with the fasting, you can then go back to enjoying those foods and getting all the benefits from them as well.
Love it. And I'm so glad you mentioned about those phase two reactive intermediates. So many things that can go wrong there. We definitely want to be able to go through phase one, phase two, and phase three of detoxification. And I'm glad you also mentioned N-acetylcysteine, glutathione, our master antioxidant, because when we have periods of stress or oxidative damage, we're rapidly running through that, especially if we have, you know, cortisol imbalances, whether that's high or low, we have gut distress, we have these environmental toxins, we're running through that. And if we're running through that, guess what? We don't have it for our detox, and then it becomes a vicious cycle. So glad you mentioned that. And amino acids, unfortunately, a lot of people, they don't get all essential amino acids. They think they do, but they really don't. And I know a lot of people are using just collagen nowadays, which doesn't have all the essential amino acids either. So you guys, please make sure, especially if you're vegan or you're vegetarian, that you're getting a wide variety of proteins, because you need those proteins not only to create DNA, RNA, muscle build, but also to detoxify.
Absolutely. I think a lot of people are deficient. I used to be going the other way, meaning like I was telling so many people to go easy on the amount of protein they're taking in. And that's because of longevity-based research. But then I realized that, I didn't just realize, like, meaning like intermittent fasting has become so popular now that people are really just eating their protein at one meal. And there's just no way they're going to be able to deal with the entire detox and rebuilding process with 30, 40 grams of protein a day. It's not going to happen.
Oh yeah, 100% not. So is there anything else when it comes down to nutrients that you would wanted to mention when it comes down to phase one or phase two detoxification?
On a daily basis, getting 7 to 9 servings of fruit and vegetables, I think is extremely important, because the more longevity research that I do and really look into it, I have not found any other nutrition plans. And I'm pretty agnostic when it comes to nutrition plans, meaning that I don't move towards any particular fad. I don't sway too far in one direction. I will manipulate macros to a degree based on the individual and their body type and their weight gain or weight loss propensity. But really, there is no good research except for fruits and vegetables on a diet that reduces cancer. So if I'm looking at the top four causes of mortality, it's cardiovascular, stroke, and blood pressure. It's type 2 diabetes and the complexities that go along with that, and cancer. And so I think we can manipulate pretty easily the cardiovascular, blood pressure, and type 2 diabetes, but it's difficult to manipulate the cancer one without a high antioxidant diet as well as the intermittent fasting. So if you can get antioxidants plus intermittent fasting, I think you've given yourself, and reducing, of course, your environmental toxins, then you've given yourself the best chance for reducing cancer, which by the year 2030 is going to be close to 1 out of every 2 people, which is a scary thought, because, again, I find the other three to be very easy to reverse. Getting cancer and not catching it fast enough is not a good situation.
No, that's actually... cancer is, because my grandma, she died from colon cancer, which became metastatic. For me, fasting and really powering up the antioxidants in my diet is a reason why I do that, is anti-cancer. Another reason why I actually don't consume red meat, because she had colon cancer, and that elevates your risk. So you guys, knowing your risk is important. And also, I wanted to bring up the polymorphisms that we can have in our genetics that predispose us to having poor detox. Do you have any thoughts on any of that?
Well, one of the big things, I think there's like three final frontiers in what we're looking at, and I think that will change dramatically over the next 10 years. And that's the way brain health overall, gut health, and those single nucleotide polymorphisms, those SNPs that you were talking about. So I think there's going to be more advanced testing in the future. I like the genetic and SNP testing now. And I do recommend it, actually. The only issue, and I think we have actually excellent gut testing. So that's done. We can kind of look at that. But I think deeper in the microbiome and actually looking at strains of bacteria, that's going to get greatly improved without a doubt. Individual strains and Firmicutes and bacteroides and how those affect weight loss and actually mood and all sorts of different things and how we might be able to manipulate those to actually help people's metabolism and mood. But, you know, the problem is not a problem. People should do their SNP-based testing. But the problem I have is that we don't need to worry about it as much if the body's balanced. If the body's balanced, then again, like they're probably not coming to fruition. However, if we allow that rain barrel to overflow or we allow lifestyle to move into it, then all of these issues for methylation, COMT, right, the MTHFR, COMT, SOD, it becomes a huge issue. So, for example, in my background, I had mastocytosis, I had Addison's disease, I had rheumatoid arthritis, I had all sorts of issues. So I'm certainly prone to all of those issues around methylation, poor detox, inflammation, et cetera, especially around what are called histamines or cytokines or leukotrienes. Massively prone to that. Bad allergies, asthma, all that growing up. Now, I don't have them today, but I have the same genetics. So what I want people to take away from this is that your genetics are not necessarily your destiny. So if you're more prone to Alzheimer's or breast cancer or colon cancer, it doesn't mean you're going to get it. So I just don't want people to be scared by their genetics, but it should give you a warning sign saying that this is the path that your body would take unless you intervened and ate well, exercised right for your body, drank enough good fresh water, et cetera. Does that make sense?
That's exactly. It was not a trick question. That is exactly what I wanted everybody to hear from you, because I 1,000% agree. It's more about your diet and your lifestyle. The genetics are cool. It's cool to know that stuff. But what's more important is the expression of your genetics and what is playing a role with activating those genes. So I'm all about that. Thank you so much. So we've talked about diet. Most importantly, you guys, I'm all about those cruciferous vegetables, those thiols, those antioxidants. Now, there are some things that can upregulate or downregulate specific pathways. You're looking at, you know, some ingredients, some supplements. But I wanted to talk to Dr. Steven because he has a supplement line. And I wanted him to tell us a little bit more about supplements and how those impact detoxification and what to look out for.
So one thing I typically recommend on a daily basis is people using a good functional medicine, daily nutritional support, or a daily activated multivitamin. And there are a lot of great companies. I formulate for Equalife. And the reason I created these products initially was that they just weren't done in the industry. And so what I said is, or if they were done, I said, could I combine multiple products so that people had to swallow less capsules? That was essentially what I was looking for, because again, these were used in private practice long before we offer them online. And so just like we were talking about with those SNPs before. So again, someone like myself with homozygous MTHFR issues and all sorts of other issues, I just want on a daily basis to eat good, healthy nutrition. That's it. Like I'm not going to worry about every single morsel of food that I'm eating. And am I getting like that half a cup too much or not? So I eat food and I don't stress about food and I just make sure it's good, healthy food. And I'm getting my 7 to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables. And when people hear fruit, sometimes they, you know, they lose their minds. They're like, oh, there's sugar in it. And so I'm not even saying if you want to do all vegetables, I'm good with that too. I mean, I really am. If you choose to do that, just want to make sure you get those antioxidants in there. But the reason why I use a good daily activated multi or daily nutritional support is so that I'm getting what I call a fail safe, meaning that whether I'm up a little bit for the day or down a little bit for the day, every day I'm getting my methylated B vitamins. That's really important for detoxification, for the brain, for inflammation, for stress, as you were mentioning, extremely important. Plus, I'm getting things for my immune system, such as zinc, selenium, copper, which is good for the hair, skin, nails, thyroid. a little bit of iodine for the thyroid, all these different things. Not at a mega dose, because I'm not a mega dose supplement person, but enough to be able to make sure that my stores are complete. And then on a quarterly basis, so we're doing intermittent fasting on a daily basis, 12 to 16 hours for most of the people that we work with. And then once a week, we might even do a longer fast. And that's based on the individual. So myself, now that my body's balanced, it's been balanced now for well over a decade, probably like 15 years or so. I do a once a week 24-hour fast. And I do that about 3 out of 4 Mondays a month. And I do it from Sunday night at dinner to Monday night the next dinner. And so I'm still having dinner with my family every day, which is great. But again, I choose to do that. And it's not every Monday. It's like 3 out of 4 Mondays. But then every quarter, along with our community, I do a 7-day functional medicine detox, which is going to be all of the daily multis and vitamins and minerals and antioxidants like alpha lipoic acid and broccophane, which is that broccoli extract, good fiber in there. And then we add Ayurvedic based herbs that have been known for 6,000 years to help with inflammation and also with the gut. And that's triphala, that is turmeric, and that is ginger. And then the functional medicine part of the detox is adding in more glutamine, more N-acetylcysteine, more glycine, taurine, alpha lipoic acid to an even greater degree, which is great for blood sugar and hormones, L-carnitine, which is also great for the mitochondria, and L-methionine, as well as some, not high level, but natural chelators like chlorella, milk thistle, which is great for the gut. Schisandra, what's called Chinese skullcap. It's a traditional Chinese medicine herb. And this allows us to greater ramp up our liver detox. And so it works exceptionally well. We add intermittent fasting to it. We add a low sensitivity nutrition plan to that for 7 days. And one recommendation I would give if someone's never done a functional medicine detox before and they haven't reached their wellness goals, they haven't reached whatever their weight loss goals would be, is to do a 21-day, and then you can do a quarterly 7-day after that. In my opinion, I haven't seen anything, all-inclusively from a general protocol perspective, work better for setting the stage then to not just going back to your old lifestyle, but actually then beginning to add in additional healthy things to your life so that you can keep those results and then keep more results coming as well.
Absolutely love that you guys focus mainly on nutrients, natural things to help us with detoxification. Major focus on those antioxidants, those polyphenols. Love that. Now, there are some things that you can take that can quickly upregulate your phase one or focus more on phase two, like calcium D-glucarate. So you guys, it's very important to, if you're not doing a structured detox, please don't play around with taking one ingredient at a rapid high dose like chlorella, which might make you feel like absolute crap, especially if there's a potential for heavy metals and you're not there yet. You're not ready to detoxify, because that's an important thing. Your drainage, your detox, lymphatic pathways, they have to be open in order for you to properly detoxify.
Yeah, 100% correct. A lot of people are using a heavy metal detox like a chlorella, cilantro, vitamin C, biofilm disruptor. That's what we do. But you can't be constipated when you're doing that.
No.
Meaning that you're doing those and then it's just sitting in your colon for a day or two and then being reabsorbed back in your bloodstream. So really important, yes, that people are keeping their bowels moving so that they don't reabsorb those toxins.
Now, is there anything else that you want to make sure my listeners know when it comes down to supplementation for detoxification?
Well, and so one of the things that we do is we don't expect people to be experts kind of coming in. So it's all happening in the background. And they're essentially doing 4 detox shakes per day for the first 2 days, which really ramps up autophagy because we're talking about low calorie, just enough amino acids that we're getting in there in order to make sure they're not too catabolic, to make sure that there's not a dip in thyroid, which is really important, or estrogen dominance, because when cortisol goes up, typically progesterone goes down. So we're already, again, working on that from a functional medicine perspective. But with those shakes is what I'm saying, they have 20 ounces of liquid. So you mix 20 ounces of water or a little bit of nut milk if you need to with that, and you're getting hydrated. So one of the important things is that you're getting close to half your body weight in ounces of water per day. So if you weigh 160 pounds, 80 ounces of water per day, it's about 10 8-ounce glasses of water. That's just a baseline, meaning that If your urine is clear, you don't really need to, you shouldn't keep over consuming water. But for most people, they're underhydrated. So they're dealing with skin, hair issues, but also poor detox because you need to keep that water. Well, in the plasma of the blood is about 90% water. You need to keep it flowing. So you need to make sure that you are urinating, that you are having bowel movements. And so hydration is such a big part of it. And then, I mean, again, the detox is kind of taken care of for you. But you, when your first 2 days, when you're doing that part and then you transition to essentially a shake, a plant-based lunch, a shake in the afternoon, and then a paleo-style dinner, and you get to choose. You can make it a vegan dinner if you wanted to. So your food's taken care of in terms of the day 3 through 7, but you don't need to go for personal best in terms of workouts your first 2 days. Those first 2 days when we're getting deeper into autophagy and we're doing the liquid-based fasting, it's really a time of rest for the body. You'll always have time to do those workouts. You can go for a walk. You can go for a massage. You can do a little bit more self-care, maybe some dry brushing or a little bit of sauna, but not to exhaustion. And that's a big part of the rest period as well, is giving your body knows how to heal. So what I'm looking to do as a practitioner is just simply put it in position to heal at a faster rate, because all these man-made toxins, they're not going anywhere. So you need to fight back with just as much firepower in order to combat it. And I'll tell you right now, food alone is really not going to do it. I tried it for years with food alone. It should be your primary source, no doubt about it. Food comes first. But giving your body a little bit of extra, those methylated vitamins, like B vitamins especially, the electrolytes, as well as those sulfur-based amino acids, it's a game changer that I've seen.
I absolutely love that. This has been such a fascinating conversation, and I'm so excited that I've had you on today, Dr. Steven. You guys, if he's a wealth of knowledge, so please go check out his own podcast, everything that he posts. You will just be blown away. So thank you so much for taking your time to always educate others and put out the content that you do, Dr. Steven. You guys, that is Gabe saying hello. He has enjoyed this podcast. Dr. Steven, where can my listeners find you, follow you, and get more information?
So the main website is stephencabral.com. It's Stephen with a PH. There's my book there called The Rain Barrel Effect. If I know that this won't be completely new because of obviously all the great work that you're doing. So you've set the stage. And then what I do is I talk about in the beginning of that book, the 10 main toxins that we're exposed to, mercury amalgams, the environmental we talked about today. There's a few more to watch out for. And then I give step-by-step my de-stress protocol in that, the diet, the exercise, the stress reduction. So the book, The Rain Barrel Effect, is a good place to start. And then, of course, the podcast, The Cabral Concept. And then if you're ready to take the next step, the EqualLife 7 or 21-day detox, I think would be fantastic for your community.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Dr. Steven. You guys, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope you learned a lot, and I hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Thanks so much.